today's message, Adonai's words are truth. Because in this week, as Dr. Dave shared a bit during the Drash, in this week we have Esau, and he cries out due to the loss of his blessing to his younger brother Jacob, because Rebecca and Jacob fooled the father, Isaac, into giving him the blessing. And this followed just real closely to Esau losing out or giving away, in reality, the blessing of the firstborn, that double portion that would have come to him, just for a bowl of soup. Just he sold his birthright for a bowl of soup, a stew. And could you imagine Esau going, "Father, bless me," and Esau says, "Well, who are you? Is that I'm your son? I'm the one you told to go out to hunt and to bring it to you so that you can bless me." And he says, "But I've already blessed someone else." And Esau goes, what? Ah! He screams out in agony because he realizes these are not just words. These are not just things being said into the air. His family knew. His father knew. His wife, the mother knew. That's why he wanted to trick them into getting the blessing for Jacob. They knew that these were more than just words. These were truths of Adonai. They meant something. They were real. They were blessings from Adonai. For us, we also must know what Adonai's words are and what his truths are. For this, let's read what the psalmist wrote about the words of Adonai in Psalm 12. So Psalm 12, verse 7, if you're reading English translations, it's verse 6, it says this: "The words of Adonai are pure words, like silver refined in an earthly crucible, purified seven times." The psalmist is not just saying that Adonai's words are good, but that the words that he gave us through the scripture are pure words. Like silver that's refined over and over until there's nothing except for that metal that you're looking for. Pure metal that you desire. So the words of Adonai are pure words, pure truth, and there's nothing within it that can be seen false, fake, or wrong. When gold or silver is refined to that point, and you look at it, and you think that there's something off about it, there's something missing, but it's been refined those number of times. Well, the truth is you need to take another look, because it's pure, it's right. What's wrong is the way you're looking at it. What you're probably looking at is it's so pure that it's reflecting. Maybe you're seeing a reflection of something, maybe you're seeing a reflection of yourself in it. Or maybe what's happening if you're looking into the word is you're seeing a smudge, or you're working into the middle, you see a smudge. Sometimes I have a smudge in my glasses and things don't look right. Well, when you look into the word, it's the same way. You're either seeing a reflection. If you think there's something wrong with the word, you're either seeing a reflection or a smudge. Because the word is true. If you think you see a contradiction from previous scriptures, you're seeing a smudge or something. If you think the word says that something that is wrong, you're saying, "But wait a second, this isn't right." You're not looking at it correctly. We need to go back and look at it. You could be imposing something that's just not there. Or if it's there, it's the fault of the interpretation that's being used. This is why I encourage everyone, when you do a study, use more than just one interpretation of Scripture. If Adonai's words are true, then what are we to use it for? Well, David had an idea about this. We read it in 2 Samuel 7. 2 Samuel 7:28 says, "So now, my Lord Adonai, you alone are God, and your words are true, and you have promised your servant this good thing." The words that David received were that Israel would be reestablished as his people, and that he would be their God, and that David's house would also be established forever, which it has been since the Messiah comes from it. David knew that the Lord is truth. And because of this, he could depend on him always. Always to be faithful. Always to do exactly what he promised. There was no wavering in his actions when compared to his word to us. Adonai never wavers. We may not understand what he's telling us at the time, but it's always true. And that's because we don't think like he thinks. We think of the here and now and how things are going to be affected here and now. Adonai thinks of the then and the heavenlies. His sight is so much further than our own. His knowledge is so much more than we are. So when we hear the word of Adonai, we shouldn't just look to see, how can I apply this now? How is this going to change the now? We need to ask Adonai to have more of a mind like him. How does this affect eternity, and how does it affect the heavenlies? Yes, Adonai wants to help us now because of his love. But because of his great love, he wants to help us in the future of our now, as well as in our future of our eternity. That's his concern, really. He wants you to be comfortable now. He wants you to be happy. But if it means a little discomfort now, so that you'll have the eternity before the throne, that's more important to him. And that's the mindset we need as well. I seriously doubt that David thought that Adonai was promising him the Messiah of Israel, who would come many years later, right? Centuries year later. David could not have known that was really what was being promised to him at that time. I seriously doubt it. But Adonai's plan was not just to prosper him then, but to prosper all of Israel for all of eternity. The thought that Adonai thinks so far ahead sometimes is of great comfort to us. He takes everything and turns it for our good. But it could also feel very uncomfortable at times, because we don't see his hand working the way we want it to when we want it to. So sometimes it can be pretty uncomfortable. But again, we have to trust him that all things work for good, not only in his kingdom, but in our life. And our life is going to be for the good if we align with the kingdom. Don't ever think the kingdom's going to move to align with you. We have to move to align with the kingdom, and that's when the good comes. Yeshua states that the word is to be used to bring us closer to the Father. We see this in John 14. John 14, starting in verse 6. Yeshua said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you have come to know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen me." He establishes, he tells us there's no other way to Adonai but by the word which is truth, and Yeshua, who is the word and is the truth. Later in John, he also says that there is another parallel reason, which is to make us holy through the truth, which is the word. John 17:17, starting there. Make them holy in the truth. Your word is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I make myself holy, so that they may also be made holy in truth. We are told so many things about the word and its truth and its effects on us. We are told that the truth will set us free, but also that that freedom that we have is from sin, so that we may come closer to the Father, Adonai. It is the word that washes us clean, cleanses us from sin, as Yeshua reminds us earlier in John 15:3. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. It's the word. The word cleanses us and is truth, and we can trust in it always. Not just sometimes, but always. Psalm 33 says just that fact, that we can always trust the word of Adonai. Psalm 33:4. For the word of Adonai is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. This is why we can trust in his word as the truth, because what he does is always upright and done in faithfulness. Faithfulness to what, though? Faithfulness to his character. When he says something, it's faithfulness to his word, his promises, and faithful to bring us to our well-being. When we say that the word is upright and done in faithfulness, we are also saying that it's pure and complete. Proverbs 30:5, every word of God is purified. He is a shield to those who take refuge in it. Do not add to his words, or else he will rebuke you and prove you a liar. There is but one truth, and that is that Yeshua is the word and the way of salvation. When we add to scripture by laying on our words or our interpretations, we are trying to change not just scripture, but also Yeshua and the way of salvation. There's a telling of when the prophet Jeremiah went to the nation of Judah in Jeremiah 26. We're told that Adonai gave him a message to deliver. Let's take a look at the setup in Jeremiah 26:2. Thus says Adonai, stand in the court of Adonai's house and speak to all the cities of Judah that come to worship in Adonai's house, all the words that I command you to speak to them. Do not omit a word. So that's what Jeremiah does. Jeremiah is told very forcibly, don't omit a word. Exclamation point. Pop. Don't miss a word that I tell you to tell them. So he goes to the people, and this is what he says. Jeremiah 26:4. Then you will say to them, thus says Adonai, and it's in quotations, because this is what he said. If you will not listen to me by walking in my Torah, which I have set before you, and by listening to the words of my servant, the prophets, whom I've been sending to you early and often, but you have not listened, then I will make this house like Shiloh and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. Very emphatic, very plain, very true. You know, the truth is right there in front of them. The problem was that even though Jeremiah spoke exactly the words of Adonai told him, the people in the area heard Jeremiah, and then they said this, Jeremiah 26:8, going from there. Now, when Jeremiah finished speaking all of that Adonai had commanded him to speak to all the people, the Kohanim and the prophets, and all the people laid hold on him, saying, "You will surely die. Why have you prophesied in the name of Adonai, saying, 'This house will be like Shiloh, and the city will be an uninhabited ruin'?" Then all the people gathered against Jeremiah in the house of Adonai. They said, he said, they will be destroyed. But that's not what the prophet Jeremiah said, and it's not what Adonai said. Jeremiah told them that Adonai said, if they don't listen and change, then they will be destroyed. The words of truth were spoken into their ears, but they did not perceive what was being said and changed the word of truth into a half-truth, which was to be used against them by Satan, who wanted to destroy their relationship with Adonai, as he does with everyone and every one of us, by separating them and us from Adonai. Judah did eventually come around and didn't kill Jeremiah the prophet, but unfortunately, they did not listen to what he said either. Perhaps this is what we're seeing in these days regarding the feasts of Adonai. I may be saying something that's a little radical here for some people, but listen to what Adonai says about the feast days. Leviticus 23:4. These are the appointed feasts of Adonai, holy convocations which you are to proclaim in their appointed seasons. He said, these are the feasts of Adonai. But people today hear, these are the Jewish feasts and not the Lord's feasts. I believe what they're doing is changing the word of truth into a half-truth and then trying to live by it. And this is what's happening to the word of salvation as well. The Jewish people have heard the truth of Torah, but they've changed it to a half-truth by changing it slowly through Mishnah, also called the oral law, so that it meets more of what they want to hear or what the ancient rabbis wanted to say instead of what is actually said in Scripture. They heard in Torah that it is the blood that was given for atonement, but they've changed the word when they could no longer see or understand how it was going to work. After the first temple was destroyed, they longed to go back to Jerusalem to repair the temple, to resume the sacrifices as prescribed in Torah. But what happened when the second temple was destroyed? They longed to create a different way back to Adonai. The question for today is, are people doing the same thing? Have people read the Torah and tried to change it so they have what they believe to be a path to Adonai, but it actually is a different path than what Adonai had for them? For us? Have the nations taken what was called the feasts of Adonai and changed them to the feast of the Jewish people? Have they taken what is seen in Torah as instructions for life and changed them? Maybe sometimes ever so slightly, but still change them and believe that they are now better today. Today, so many want to say that the word of truth was true then, but things have changed in the world. Therefore, so must the word. Did they do what Yeshua himself said he would not do? Yeshua said this in Matthew 5, starting in verse 17. And I'm sure a lot of you know this verse. Do not think I came to abolish the Torah or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or sharif will ever pass away from Torah until all things come to pass. Yeshua states not only that he has come to fulfill the instructions of Adonai, meaning not to complete them, but to continually complete them. Not once and only once, but that he is still completing them today. But that changing anything, even the smallest letter or the smallest stroke of the pen, will change it so that it's no longer what he came to uphold and continually fill up for us. What we see is the word is now changed to the world. They've gone from W-O-R-D to W-O-R-L-D. They've changed the word by only one letter. And it's a small letter. It's just a ink. It's one stroke. Ink. But with that single stroke, which Yeshua himself said he would never do, they changed it. And then sometimes changed it completely, even if most of the world can't see the difference. Adonai sees the difference, and he wants his people to see the difference as well. And when I say he wants his people to see it, I'm not saying, and he wants his Jewish people to see it. He wants his people to see it. All that he created, those are his people. Truth does not change. The word does not change. If his word was ever true, then his word is forever true. We cannot insert things, even as small as a single letter, just a little stroke, eek, and expect it to have the same effect in our lives or the lost world. This is why Yeshua said that he has not come to change a single stroke of the pen, even the smallest stroke. He was not going to change. But somehow, man feels it's okay to change it. We must live by the word that he gave to us. Yeshua gives us the reason for the word. John 8:31, starting there. Then Yeshua said to the Judeans who had trusted him, "If you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Now, let's say for a moment that there were a Jewish person, and we don't believe in Yeshua as our Messiah. And therefore, we don't trust this saying because it's said by Yeshua. And I'd ask you, then, is it true for Tanakh? Is it true for Torah? That if we abide in his Torah will truly make us his disciples and will set us free from sin. Does the Tanakh have the power to make atonement for a person for the wrong in their lives? Of course, that's what it's for. As Jewish people, we are called to follow his word, which shall make us free and atone us from transgressions, just as it did for the people who sacrificed in the temple when the temple was standing. And if you believe that, but you say that Torah is no longer only the written scripture, which is Torah, the first five books, and the prophets, and the wisdom writing, but you believe that it's also the oral Torah, and it's called the Mishnah, and you've not allowed the word to change. Well, you have allowed the word to change. Because what do the rabbis say when they're discussing the word? Rabbi so-and-so said. Rabbi so-and-so said that Rabbi so-and-so said. With each time a rabbi is quoted or a rabbinic story is layered onto Scripture, a stroke of the word given by Adonai through the prophets and the writers of the Tanakh is changed just a bit more into the world. They believe that the oral law is a clarification or an amplification of the word that Adonai was saying, is saying. But just by changing the amplitude of the word, you change the effect of it as well. A praise and worship song played at a level that allows us to sing along edifies. But change the amplification and it becomes too soft to hear. Turn it up and it becomes so loud that it'll damage your ears, or it'll cause all sorts of distortion and vibrations, and you'll get nothing out of it, except for maybe pain. Now, this is not to say that there's no wisdom in any of the sages' writings, but they must be held to a standard of the written word to verify if they've maintained the truth of the word. This will anger many of our Jewish brothers, and even some within the Messianic community who believe the teaching of the Mishnah as God's word. But if that was the case, then none of it would be in opposition to Torah, or even in opposition of itself. So much of Mishnah are written commentaries that give two sides of a single issue. A single teaching with two sides. I can truly say that Adonai's word only has one side, and that's his side. Amen. We may not understand it always, but it is always true. As we read in Psalm 119 about his word, 119, 160, you know, all the way down towards the end of 119 to get this. Truth is the essence of your word, and all your righteous rulings are eternal. Eternal, I say. Not just temporary. Not just for decades. Not just for centuries. Eternal. His word is eternal and true and right. So how do we recognize truth? It's by the witness that we accept. If we think about the past, let's say 3,500 years ago, around the time of Moses, why did Moses believe that it was really the Almighty in the burning bush speaking to him? It was because after talking to him, Moses recognized that Adonai was speaking the truth, because he saw the witness that he could believe. And why did the Jewish slaves believe Moses when they came back to him? Perhaps it was because of the sign that Adonai gave them that said to show them the staff turning into the snake, or maybe the other things that he had there. Because they believed the witness of Moses that Adonai sent him. Why did Pharaoh release the Jewish slaves? It was because after 10 plagues, he believed the witness of Moses. Now, I'm not saying he believed the witness of Moses that Adonai was the only true God, but he believed the witness of Moses that they were to be let go. Our view today of what is truth or not in our everyday life, it has to be the same. We look to the witness and determine if it's trustworthy and true. But this is what's wrong with so much of the world and politics today. It doesn't matter what side you're on. You look at the witness and what they have to show you, and you judge if you can believe them as trustworthy or true and true or not. The problem is that it's harder and harder to tell what's trustworthy and true in the world. Back a century ago or more, it was the physical evidence. Then it was photographic evidence. The picture was the best there was. Then there was audio recording. If you caught them on audio, it was absolutely true. And then it was video recording. If you could see them doing it, it was absolutely, positively true. The problem now is technology has caught up with all of that. The photos, the audio, the video, it can all be changed to fool even the most discerning. Who can believe what they see anymore? So we're back to where we were. Who is the witness? Who do we trust? Do we trust the witness that comes to us? Is what they say the truth? Scripture, again, as it always has, comes down to what and who do you believe? Do you believe what Moses wrote, Torah? Do you believe what the writers of the gospel wrote about Yeshua's life, about his death, about his resurrection? Do you accept what Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, wrote about his experiences? If you do, as I do, then you know that that Adonai's words are truth. And what he says in the Tanakh and in the Brit Hadashah are all truth. They do what they were always meant to do then. They draw us back to Adonai and the way to live. The way that Adonai wants us to live for him. We give our first-time attenders the book. You know, right? We give our first-time attenders, I have a friend who's Jewish, do you? We give this to everyone who comes here the first time. Why do we give it? Because I believe, it's a really good witness. And that it will lead people not just to accept that Adonai is real and that Yeshua is the Messiah, but also to start them reading scripture so that they can live well and also become a good witness to who Adonai and Yeshua are. We point people to scripture because they are Adonai's words. They are the truth. They are the life. They are the way we're supposed to live. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Father, we thank you that your word is truth. We proclaim today it was true then, it's true now, and it will be true forevermore. That your way of salvation was true then, blood of the sacrifice of the animal. It's true now. Blood of Messiah Yeshua, who was sacrificed for us. And it will be forever true. Ruach, we ask that you would open the eyes of our Jewish brethren. Open the eyes of our Gentile neighbors. And let them see your truth. Let them know. Let them hear a witness. The Ruach HaKodesh through us. If not through us, let it be through a dream. If not through a dream, let it be a vision. Or just someone else in their path who will speak the truth, the word of Adonai, whether it comes from Genesis all the way through to Revelation. Whatever word is necessary. Adonai, you know. Ruach HaKodesh, you know. Which word needs to be spoken to which person? And you know that will cause salvation within. Father, that's what we're asking for. that your Spirit move upon those who are lost so that they will find salvation. The only way of finding salvation, through Messiah Yeshua, through the blood that was shed, through the plan that you had set in place from the very beginning of your word to the very end of your word, through all of the books that we call Scripture. We call Scripture Genesis to Revelation because we believe you call Scripture Genesis to Revelation, Adonai. So we ask, open the eyes. Give us opportunity to be your hands and feet and your mouth to speak your words. We just thank you and praise you in Yeshua's name. And everyone said, amen and amen.